Peter Danchin, you've worked for a few years on a research project called Politics of Religious Freedom, where you've discussed and thought about these issues, you know, as they apply internationally. Talk a little bit about the distinction between religious freedom and religious liberty.
The project that we've done is actually looked at contestation over that very question, what the right to religious freedom means in many parts of the world. And what's fascinating is that these types of conflicts are arising in broadly similar ways in many, many parts of the world. So if we look, for example, at a recent interesting case in Europe, it was decided by the European Court of Human Rights, the so-called Laozi versus Italy case. It involved the question about whether it was a violation of the right to religious freedom to have a crucifix in a public school classroom in Italian classes.
And Italy, of course, is a predominantly Catholic country.
Predominantly Catholic country, exactly. Now, the European Court of Human Rights, at first instance, said that this was a violation of the convention, that this took a very particular position on a particular religious tradition and was therefore a violation of the state's duty of impartiality and neutrality. Were the words that were used. And of course, once that framework was set up, it was clear that the state had in fact taken this position, and the result was that the crucifix should be removed from all classrooms. Now, this caused outrage across Europe. A large number of states intervened on Italy's side, and the case was appealed to the Grand Chamber. And in a rather fascinating decision, the Grand Chamber reversed. And through some very complicated legal reasoning, said that in fact this was not a violation of religious freedom, and that neutrality and secularity, the question of the place of religion in a democratic state, had to be understood in terms of its history, in terms of the culture, and particularly in terms of the unique nature of Italy and its relationship to Catholicism. And so this again was a very controversial decision. But the same issue that we see arising in this case was at issue. What do we mean by the right to religious freedom, on the one hand? Is it a universal right? Or is it perhaps, when you mentioned religious liberty, this is often thought of as a constitutional idea, particularly in the United States. So is there a universal right, or is it something that's quite unique to a particular constitutional tradition? For example, an 18th century American notion of liberty. And what are the limits of that right? How does the state protect the right while at the same time maintaining its neutrality? And these are the burning issues of our day.
Yeah. Amir Ziad, it wasn't until the 1970s that Jewish holidays began to creep into the school calendars across the country. So it means that there's only been a few generations who have even had that experience. You know, just these last couple of weeks, you know, as you mentioned, we've had these terrible events, the coffee shop in Sydney, the massacre of those children by the Pakistani Taliban, all done in the name of Islam. Mm-hmm. These are obviously things that are setbacks for, as you say, the perception of Muslims in the country. But is it a matter of time, do you think? Is it a matter of the Muslim community gaining numbers in communities around the states? Or, you know, what's it going to take, do you think, for people to have this understanding and an embrace of these minority religions?
Yes, I mean, I think we see the history of minority religions, and we see that there have been ups and downs and struggles in every religious tradition to try to find its space and its identity in the United States. And yes, I believe it is a matter of numbers, and it is a matter of time, and it's also a matter of the American Muslim community coming to a sense of maturity about its own place in the American religious fabric, and also, you know, being born American, experiencing American culture, and finding a specific American cultural Islam that I think is happening across the United States. I mean, in terms of artistic production, literary production, religious production, we see that. At the same time, I become despondent when I see how much of the, when I see that we continue to be involved, of course, militarily, in specific geopolitical struggles overseas that do inevitably resound onto the Muslim community, and they do inevitably shape perceptions. And so there are a number of ways in which I feel there have to be accommodations made, such as this one, to really bring Muslims out into the public space as equal partners and friends. But I also think We need to think about, you know, alternative media sources. You know, where do we get our information about Islam and Muslims? And is it always going to be about Islam and Muslims overseas and not about the rich tradition of American Islam that's been growing here for the last, I mean, for centuries when it comes to African-American Islam, but for at least 50 years with immigrant Islam.
So, you know, Peter Danchin, there's also a law in the books in Maryland and seven other states that forbids anyone who's an atheist to hold public office or even to become a notary public or something. That's an unenforceable law, and it's certainly not, you know, there are plenty of people who hold no particular religious faith who are, you know, serving in public office, although, as we all recognize, it would be suicide for a politician, you know, to run for governor or mayor or something and say, I don't believe in God. That's a whole other discussion we can have sometime. But in terms of case law, have there been any legal decisions specific to this notion of religious holidays? I can think of the Smith case in the Supreme Court that was not about a religious holiday, but it was about a religious practice. Yes. Is there case law about religious holidays in particular?
Yes. Well, interestingly, this issue has never been expressly decided by the Supreme Court. And one has to wonder if it will eventually come before the Supreme Court and what that court might do. But there is a decision at the Federal Court of Appeals level. I believe it's the Flory versus Sioux County Board case in South Dakota, where the school adopted a policy very much along the lines we're discussing, allowing for religious holidays. And interestingly as well, allowing for the kind of engagement in the public schools that we've been discussing. So the discussion in historical and cultural terms about the significance of the holidays, some allowing for religious songs and symbols and practices within the public school space itself. And all of this was very heavily qualified in the policy itself, but it was challenged by a parent in that school district who actually claimed as well to be an atheist. And that claim went to the Court of Appeals, and the court upheld the policy. So that, I think, is the leading case in this area of law, that this kind of recognition is not incompatible with the Establishment Clause or the Free Exercise Clause.
And, of course, were the Supreme Court to rule on this, there are plenty of folks who think that that would be a bad idea. In other words, these are decisions that should be left to local school boards rather than have a one-size-fits-all decree come at the federal level.
That's right. I mean, I think there would be great dangers in a binding Supreme Court decision. And I think given the diversity of this country and the types of religious pluralism that exist, it's much more preferable for these types of engagements, dialogues to occur at the local level and to allow different parts of the country to reach their own forms of accommodation. But I think inevitably there will be challenges to these types of policies, whether to remove the holidays or to recognize them. And ultimately, the courts will become engaged on these questions.
All right. A senior fellow at the Theological Inquiry, at the Center of Theological Inquiry in Princeton, New Jersey, Peter Danchin, and Homer Ziad from the Institute for Christian and Jewish Studies. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.